The retirement and IRA show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Well, welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show, EDU edition, where in this episode we're going to discuss missed RMDs and how to fix them. Those are required minimum distributions, or in the official literature, it's referred to often as MRDs, minimum required distributions, but for some reason over the years, it's morphed into the more popular RMD acronym, which is not really an acronym, but that's a whole other topic for another day. So welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show. My name's Chris. I'm here with Jim as well, Jim Saulnier. My name's Chris Stein.
Hi, Chris Stein.
And this is going to be a fairly rapid EDU show, apparently. I don't know if you've looked at your watch, but
I don't have a watch, but I will click my iPad, and you want me to see that it is 5:15?
I can stay a little past, but this can't be an hour-long show, we better get right into it.
It's a damn long one. Well, we've got some housekeeping that we have to take care of first, as always. I'm supposed to remind listeners again. MJ, Marketing Joe in the office, wants us to remind people about voting for our new logo.
I don't know that
voting
will still
be
going.
Yet.
Oh, a bunch of votes already because she put it in the newsletter. But okay. So I don't think we need to advertise it anymore. Plus, it'll probably be closed by the time the podcast plays.
She closes June 11th. What day is this podcast going to play?
The 11th, I think.
Well, see? Listen and vote. Chris is going to tell you where to go. Do you know where to go? Because I don't know where to go.
Yeah, go to jimhelps.com. That's the easiest place to get there. We've got new logos for the podcast that we're asking people to vote on their preference. If you go to jimhelps.com, scroll down to the bottom of that page, you'll see a link to the Retirement and IRA Show podcast on there. There'll be some posts, and off to the left-hand side, some reference to the voting for this new what did she make?
Logo.
Yeah, logo. I guess it's kind of exotic for a logo. It's like a picture with people in it and stuff.
You get to see Chris's picture and my picture.
Logo is like the Nike swoosh. This is far more detailed than that. So,
well, what do you call the podcast little logo? I mean, I call it a logo.
Sure, we'll go with that. But it's a picture with people in there.
Yeah, but that's what appears on iTunes.
I get it. We'll call it a logo. Sorry,
I call it logos.
Sorry, I made it more complicated.
There's another word for it. We'll call it that. But anyways, vote on it so we know which one to use. I'm the guy who looks like George Clooney. Chris is the guy who looks like Baby Huey. So I'm sure you'll be able to figure out who we are.
Probably.
Chris is the taller one in the photo.
Jim's the one who's being shut up in the photo.
I'm the better looking one. I'm the one with hair. Let's just put
There's that. That's true.
Okay. So vote on the logos, and she'll have the new logo as part of the podcast in the very near future. Before we get into missed RMDs as well, we want to talk about RMDs in general, not what they are, how to figure them out and all that. This will go a very long thing, and it's already 5:15 here on the day we're recording this. But there's going to be BUCA changes coming down the road to IRAs if Congress can get off their you-know-what and get things done. There's a bill making its way through the House and a bill making its way through the Senate. We won't mention the acronyms for that because I don't know which one's actually going to come out and when. But essentially, the House bill will delay RMDs until age 72 instead of 70 and a half, but abolish the stretch IRA. And instead of bringing back the 5-year rule, they're going to bring back what is going to be known as the 10-year rule.
Huh.
That the inherited IRA from a non-spouse beneficiary must be closed within 10 years. The Senate is a little different. The Senate's version has RMDs, which we call RIDs, RIDs, required income distributions. The Senate bill has them being delayed to 75, but bringing back the five-year rule unless the IRA is worth less than $450,000. Now, I have no idea. Is that per beneficiary? Is that per IRA? Is it aggregated? Does it include 401ks, 403bs, TSPs? What if each individual account is worth $450,000, but you got a 401k, a TSP, a 403b, a Roth IRA, which has RMDs? A lot of people don't realize that. Or is it $450,000 in aggregate? I mean, I think the Senate rule is just...
It's opening up a big... can of worms.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Plus, is that 400 going to increase with inflation?
I have no idea.
We don't know. So that one could be really complicated and unattractive.
Exactly. The point is, folks, Chris and I have been preaching for a while that the stretch IRA is going the way of the dodo bird. I will give the Senate credit, the senator, one of the senators who sponsored it. I forget who he is or she is. But they had the cojones to admit bringing the stretch back, or abolishing the stretch, rather, was a revenue raiser to pay for delaying RMDs. So because they're going to let you keep your money a little bit longer before you give them their fair share, they need to generate more money because delaying RMDs is going to give them a little less money. And that's why this senator said that's why that provision was in there. Chris and I have said repeatedly the abolition of the stretch IRA is a revenue raiser, and that's why it will pass. So even if it passes under the Senate version with some stretch abilities, if it's less than a certain amount, or the House that says no stretch but a 10-year, I guarantee you the House is 10-year. In the future will become 7 years, become 5 years, and maybe someday become 1 or 2 years. That it's just got to be closed. You've got to remember this, folks. When the stretch IRA goes away, non-spouse beneficiaries are going to get nailed. And also, and there's planning opportunities around that. Chris and I have talked about that. We'll be talking about them more in the future. I can guarantee you that. But also, keep in mind, I'm not jumping up and down, spitting nickels over the IRA RMDs being delayed until 72 or 75 or somewhere in between. Maybe they'll choose 73 and a half, cut the difference between the two. Remember, we always wondered how they came up with 71 and a half?
Maybe it was a compromise.
What is the average of 72 and 75? Hey, we got our investment guy. What's the average of 72 and 75?
You already nailed it.
I nailed it?
Well, it was accidental. We all know that, but you did nail it.
No, I did that in my head.
Okay.
I nailed it. Maybe they're going to, if they come out with 73 and a half, now we know how they came up with it.
Right.
They took the House version and the Senate version. The point that I'm not getting excited over, because I've already read some articles, Chris, from the financial media, the media that appeals to advisors as well, not the retail media, already saying this is, one advisor said, earth-shattering, groundbreaking, major importance.
What?
Yeah, I'm like, really? Because you're going to extend RMDs? I look at it and see it as a hoax. Because what they're going to tell most people to do, most ignorant people will do, is what? Continue to delay RMDs until 72, 73, 75, whatever the final rule is. Meaning their accounts are going to grow that much bigger, meaning when the RMDs do begin, they'll be that
in
much greater.
Higher tax brackets.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Pulling in more Social Security, subjecting you to IRMA, subjecting you to NIT, all these tax issues.
So there's some hidden advantages actually for the government from allowing a further delay.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And abolish the stretch at the same time.
Yeah.
Instead, what it is going to give you is a little more time for your tax planning window.
Right. Which we talk about a lot.
Because Chris and I are all about taking money out of your damn IRAs and 401ks long before your uncle starts forcing you to. Take it out on your terms and under your tax brackets. not their terms and their forced tax bracket. Okay. But what happens if you miss an RMD, whether it's at 70.5, 72.5, 73.5, 75, whatever the final rule is going to be? What happens if you miss one? Well, on paper, it sounds wicked scary. It really does. Because it's what?
A tremendous penalty.
50%.
Yeah, the biggest penalty we know of in the tax code. 50% of the amount you should have taken out.
Not to mention you still have to take 100% of it out, pay a late penalty because you paid the taxes on that taxable income late. You also have a 50% penalty tax on top of that of what should have come out. So it sounds real scary. Yeah.
They really want you to take your RMDs is basically what they're saying. They really slap your hand hard on this one. I'd say they're slapping your face. This goes beyond a hand slap.
Yeah, or a you-know-what kick.
Might be a punch in the gut, yeah.
Well, that's a better way than you-know-what
kick. I'm a little more family-friendly.
You are family-friendly.
Yeah.
Now that
You're kind of a potty mouth.
Yeah, I'm not potty mouth. I'm more of a PG-13. This is not.
It's just a matter of interpretation.
We're not on terrestrial radio anymore.
I know, but people stream the podcast in their car with their kids in the car.
Oh.
Well, a couple people.
Who the heck would stream the Retirement and IRA show while their kids are in the car?
There's two people out there who do that.
Yeah, sure.
And I heard one of them has a kid.
That's real bad if your kid is sitting there listening to the Retirement and IRA show.
They're probably blocking it out already so we can say whatever we want. Right there in the back with their fingers in their ears. La, 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 la.
Daddy, please change it. Change it. I hate that guy's accent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it sounds really bad, it actually isn't imposed as often as you think because here the IRS has a heart. It's kind of like the Grinch who eventually was found to have a heart. The IRS has that heart with missed RMDs. Now, they're not going to keep giving you a lot of leeway, but if you have a good reason why you missed it, they're going to be very lenient with you. But the good news is with missed RMDs, it's not hard to fix. You got to file some paperwork. But it's not that hard to fix. The first thing to recognize with a missed RMD is you have to fix it with Form 5329. And what is unique, Chris, we talk about this form all the time. What is unique about Form 5329 in the tax code?
It's the only addendum form, extra form that goes with your 1040 that has its own signature line. The 1040, of course, has a signature line on it, and that signature and date is what, when you submit it, that's what starts the statute of limitations for the IRS to challenge some of the numbers from that document. All the extra documents that you file with your 1040 get attached to that same signature. 5329 has its own signature and date on it. So if you don't sign one, you don't submit one, any of the issues that are covered by the 5329, which one of which is to report missed RMDs, has no statute of limitations if you haven't filed it and submitted the signature with the date at that point. Once you sign it, then there is the clock ticking. Well, it's late in the
it's
day.
It's late in the when day.
So the clock starts ticking on that statute of limitations, and if they don't challenge it or realize there's an issue, you might get away with something. It's unique in that it has its own signature line.
Right. So because of that, as Chris said, no statute of limitations. So technically speaking, if you're ever audited and the IRS finds randomly that you missed an RMD from 10 years ago, they could go after you.
Watch out.
There's no statute of limitations. But because they are very lenient, bring it to their attention, and chances are, as long as you have a good reason, it's kind of, I always call this remember the Juan Epstein? I call this the Juan Epstein solution. It's a note. You actually have to attach a note to 5329. Just don't sign it from Epstein's mother.
Right.
That's from Welcome Back, Carter. but he always had a note excusing him from things, signed Epstein's mother. Don't sign the note that you're going to attach to 5329 explaining your mistake to the IRS, Epstein's mother. Just unless they have a sense of humor.
Up, right?
You can try it.
It's probably going to be somebody who doesn't know who that is, though.
Well, if it's someone from our generation, they'll actually giggle over that.
Yeah, maybe.
Or get really pissed. But 5329 has no statute of limitations, so they can come after you. So even if you think I made it, it's been 3 years, they're never going to catch me, yes, they can. So take a missed RMD seriously, but also don't panic over it. If you have a good reason, chances are the IRS will show leniency. I've been doing this for 22 years. I've helped 5 people with missed RMDs. Every single one in that time frame was granted clemency, if you want to call it that, but was shown favor, was not imposed the penalty, the 50% penalty. All of them had very good reasons. If the IRS can prove you did this on purpose, then they're not going to be so lenient. They will hit you with that penalty. The two biggest ways people miss RMDs, inherited IRAs and required beginning date. In short, a lot of people don't realize when you inherit an IRA, especially a non-spouse beneficiary, when you inherit an IRA, you must take required minimum distributions by December 31st of the year following the IRA owner's death. Here's where most people get burned, Chris, on inherited IRAs. The custodian will reach out to the inheritor or inheritee, the person who inherited the account, the beneficiary, and let them know. But it is not their responsibility to take it or follow up. But they'll often let you know you have to take a required minimum distribution, and they're waiting for direction from you. And it is not their responsibility. You cannot hold the custodian responsible for the missed RMD. Also, what burns a lot of people is when they inherit Roth IRAs from a non-spouse beneficiary. They think, oh, it's a Roth. I'm not 59 and a half yet. I'm only 30. I inherited this from my dad, God rest his soul. I'm okay.
It's a Roth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, not 59 and a half. I'm not 70 and a half. No problem. I'm only 30. I've got plenty of time. The custodian is not going to be proactively, most custodians, ensuring you're taking it. They'll remind you, but they can drop the ball. Now, some custodians are very good and will follow up repeatedly. I've seen other custodians who are very bad. But it is not their responsibility. We talked about this on a previous podcast, responsibilities of custodians. And having you take the RMD is not one of them. They got to tell you about it, but it's up to you to effect it. And the thing that will burn you more on a missed Roth RMD?
Yeah, it would have been tax-free.
Exactly.
So here's a case where it isn't just an increase in the tax you owe as far as a penalty. You're incurring a tax penalty for something that, if you'd done correctly, wouldn't have incurred tax at all. So you go from zero tax. I mean, that's an infinite increase, an infinite percentage increase if we do the math, right? So it's just that's a total slap in the face.
Exactly. Now, living people can also, non-beneficiaries can also run into a problem. The owner of the IRA, because they say, I'm going to delay till April 1st. And they forget. Because remember, you can delay your first RMD till April 1st of the year following the year you turn 70 and a half. So people delay to April and they forget. Or they call up the custodian. They say, yeah, I need to take, they'll know the RMD amount, not the custodian, but the person. So they call up and they say, yeah, take out $20,000. Let's just say that was the previous year's RMD. So they'll take that out. Maybe they take it out after April 1st and figure out, no big deal. Well, the problem is it is a big deal because that RMD was missed. Because after April 1st, that first distribution Well, I don't even want to say that. Yes, the after April 1st, that first distribution applies to the previous distribution as well, because you never took it. So if you took it out on April 5th, it still applies to the previous year's RMD, not to the current year's RMD.
So you might forget to take that one later in the year, thinking, oh, I already took mine this year's.
Yeah. That's where most people get burned, is missing that April 1st or getting confused on that April 1st.
And people always push this idea of delaying and as long as you can, so you're going to push it into that next year on your first RMD, but people forget or don't mention as often. That means you're going to have to take two in that year, which might not also be a situation where you're going to drive yourself up into an unattractive tax bracket doing that. So be very careful electing to delay that first RMD. Even if you don't miss it, it might end up being a bad tax choice.
Right. Now, a lot of people might want to try to keep the hush-hush on a missed RMD, thinking they're automatically subject to the 50% penalty tax. And they say, screw this. They're not going to figure this out. Mm-hmm. They're not going to catch me on this. I'm not even going to say anything. Well, again, no statute of limitations, but also no penalty is owed. You ask for forgiveness first. And you ask for forgiveness with Form 5329 and your note from Epstein's mother. That's how you ask for forgiveness. No money is owed. Money is only owed if the IRS doesn't accept your note.
If they deny you.
Exactly. Exactly. So what you have to do is get Form 5329. Now, again, you do not actually have to, we may not have mentioned this. You don't have to amend your previous 1040. A lot of people think that. Another reason they don't want to do it. Well, no, I missed this 5 years ago. I got to amend a tax return from 5 years ago. That's going to cost me an arm and a leg. I got to hire a CPA. I got to figure out all this stuff. No, you do not have to amend the 1040. What you do, and this is odd because it doesn't work this way all the time.
This is odd, yeah.
You take the money out immediately. So as soon as you realize you missed the RMD, you take it out immediately. And this is important, folks, because this goes into Epstein's mother's letter to the IRS. And they want to see you took care of this immediately.
Right, upon discovering the error.
That's one of the first things they want to see in Epstein's mother's note. So even if the missed RMD is from 10 years ago, you immediately take out the amount that you were supposed to. Now, that can get difficult because a missed RMD is based on the previous year's December 31st value. And so the age at the time you missed it.
Right. So you got to do a little math and do some research to get the right number.
Exactly. So it can get a little bit confusing, but you have to figure out the amount of the missed RMD. Now, your custodian could help you, if it's the same custodian from when you missed the RMD, and get you the statement to show the value of the IRA for the previous year. Remember, let's say it's 2019 now. Let's say you missed 2009's RMD. You actually need the December 31st value of 2008 if you missed the RMD you were supposed to take in 2009. You have to use the previous year's balance. So even though it's 2009's RMD and you missed it, and actually that's a bad example. Isn't 2009 the year they exempted people from RMDs, or was that 2010? I think 2009. Google that. I think it was 9 or, well, I know it was either 2009 or 2010.
I thought it was 10, but I'll...
I think 2009 was the year they exempted you from RMDs. So that's a bad example because some stickler, someone who's really good at this, is going to say, hey, Jim, in your example, you forgot to mention there was no RMDs owed in 2009. Anyways.
Well, keep talking.
I was going to say, I don't want to pause the show on that. So let's just say in my example, you missed 2010 or 2012's RMD. I know RMDs were not exempt in 2012. Let's just say you missed 2012's RMD. You need the December 31st balance, folks, from December 31st, 2011. But now it's 2019. You take the RMD out immediately. You take it out as a distribution. You just call up the custodian and say, and let's just say you determined the RMD was $15,000. You just call up the custodian and say, send me a distribution for $15,000.
Yeah. It was 2009.
Yeah. Figure that, Mike. Yeah. I remember that at the last choice. Meeting. Yeah, it's like, hey, that example.
And that was... Yeah, we're not going to go too far into that, but they didn't want to force people to take money out in a year right after the financial crisis, during the crash, forced to take it out and liquidate it at that time. So it's a way to kind of help people during the financial hardship years of the Great Recession. We'll just summarize it like that.
Exactly. Now, you need to use the Form 5329 for the year that the RMD was missed. So they have a list of all previous ones because rules were different for every different year. So you would Google 2012 in my new example, 2012 Form 5329.
Yep.
Okay. So you immediately take the missed RMD and you begin completing Form 5329. This is a lot easier than most people think. It begins on line 52. Now, that can change in previous ones. It's really set, well, right now it's section 8. I don't know in previous years what section it was. It's the very last section on the current 5329. At least I say current. This is all coming from memory, Chris. It's the very last section on the last time I helped a client fix a missed RMD. But, at the time, it was the very last section, section 8. There's only four lines you got to worry about. So what you simply do is on the current form, your form might be a little different depending on what year you're trying to fix. On line 52 is where you report what should have been taken. So again, in my example, you've got 2012's Form 5329. And on line 52, how much should have been taken? On line 53 is where you're supposed to report the amount that was distributed for that year. You missed the RMD, so nothing was distributed.
Yeah. Or you could also be filing this form if you didn't take out enough. You find out you only took out half of what you should have.
Good point.
So you could have a number
could
here.
Could have something.
But in our example, you didn't take anything out.
So you put zero. Mm-hmm. But in Chris's example, let's say you took 10 of the 15 out and you realized you left 5 in there. You would write 10 down.
Yep.
Okay. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. Because now you're going to net those two out. And that goes on line 54, the line right below it.
Right.
Makes sense. But in parentheses on line 54, you put RC. And you actually, well, you go ahead. I'll let you. You have a cute little phrase for RC.
RC, I claim, stands for requesting compassion. That's not what it means, but RC you put on there is a little code to them that, oops, please forgive me because I didn't take this amount.
You know what it actually stands for, right?
Revenue contraband.
Think like a cop.
Think like a cop?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Reasonable cause.
Oh, okay. I like requesting compassion better.
Well, I mean, that's what I laugh at is the way you put it.
Yeah.
But again, so on line 52, you are going to put the amount that should have come out. On line 53, the amount that did come out. That would be a big fat zero. Line 54, you're supposed to subtract the two. So if you were supposed to take 15,000 out, but took zero out, what's that resulting number?
Should be 15, but that's not what you put on that line.
No.
Right.
What do you put on that line?
You put zero if you didn't take anything out, but you have to put the in parentheses the RC. I took zero out, but I'm requesting compassion.
Exactly. So you're putting zero, and in the parentheses, you literally have to do this. And they, not in the parentheses, in the margin, to the left of box 54, there's a dotted line. You just put RC. And if you read the instructions for Form 5329, and on the new one, it's Section 9, so they've added a new section to it. See, when I did it, oh, ABLE accounts, that's why. Part 8 is now ABLE accounts. So it's really the last part of 5329. So it could be a different part, but it's usually the last part. And that's the only part you fill in. The previous 8 parts, you just skip. So you, when you first look at 5329, you're like, holy moly, skip it all. Go to the section marked additional tax on excess accumulation and qualified retirement plans, including IRAs. That's their title.
Right.
It's a typical government bureaucratic title. Additional tax on excess accumulation and qualified retirement plans, including IRAs. Go to that section. I just opened up the new one. On the new one for this year, it's Section 9.
Okay.
But nonetheless, line 52, the amount you should have taken out. Line 53, the amount that came out. In my example, zero. If Chris's example was correct and it was 10, you would write 10. But on line 54, you would still net it out, not to 5,000, but to zero. You're going to put zero on line 54, and in parentheses. In the margin, you're going to write RC. That's it, an R period C period. And that stands for not requesting compassion, although I think that's really cute the way Chris words it. It's reasonable cause. You have reasonable cause for telling them, I don't owe the penalty. That's why zero is written on line 54, because line 55 is half the value of line 54. Right. If you put 5,000 down, you got to write 2,500 on 55, right. And that's what you owe.
Yeah.
You're saying, I have reasonable cause, or I'm requesting compassion
for not taking any of that.
For not
paying taking that
you anything.
Out. Right.
I'm sending you a letter from Epstein's mother instead. So on line 55, you write another big fat zero.
Right. Half of zero is zero.
Half of zero is zero. So when the IRS agent sees this, they know, oh, requesting
better,
compassion.
Better look for the letter.
Let me see his note from Epstein's mother. Now, this note, and I've actually helped people write 5 of them, and here I am very pithy. Less is more.
Right.
There are 3 sentences. Actually, there are 3 paragraphs, and there's technically 3 sentences, because each paragraph should be no more than a damn sentence. You all know I can get wordy. When you look at my Epstein's mother's notes, they are not wordy. They're to the point. Paragraph 1, what went wrong?
Right. Why you didn't take it out?
Why you didn't take it? What happened? Now, it could be more than one sentence, but it should be to the point. Let's just say you missed the RMD because you thought it was 10,000, but it was actually 15. So you just simply say, yep,
throw yourself on the sword and say it.
And let's say it was missed from 2012. Mm-hmm. Paragraph 1 or sentence 1, if you're really pithy, in 2012, I was required to take $15,000. I took $10,000 thinking that was the actual amount. I made that error because I looked at the wrong line on my December 31st statement or whatever caused it.
Shorten to the point. That's it. Don't go on and on.
What went wrong? Paragraph two. What did you do about it?
Yep.
Paragraph two has always been the same.
Right.
I immediately took the missed required minimum distribution.
When I discovered the error.
When I discovered the error. That will be reported on my 2019 income tax return.
Period.
You don't have to attach proof.
No. Nope.
That's it.
Just say you did it.
Paragraph three. And I really think this is to come back at you later. Paragraph three is, what did you do to make sure this mistake never happens again? I immediately authorized my custodian to begin sending me my required minimum distributions automatically, or I have since told my tax professional who does my taxes to proof my RMDs for me every year to make sure this doesn't happen, or I have told my children to proof my RMDs every year so this doesn't happen. And this is an important one, folks. Because there's another reason why a lot of people miss RMDs. You're getting older. And you're going to start forgetting things. And you're going to start making simple money mistakes. And your children may be the ones writing this letter. My mother missed her required minimum distributions for the last 4 years. It was not known to us, but she was starting to suffer onset of dementia. We immediately took all missed RMDs when the mistake was discovered. We have now received copies of her statements from her custodian, or we are now appointed as guardian under her power of attorney, or we have requested it, so this will never happen again. Even if your mother missed four RMDs, I know they're going to show compassion here. Because you're dealing with someone who might be 85, 88, 90, 95, and the IRS knows our minds aren't working the same. But Epstein's mother's letter, the letter you attach to the 5329, that's what's going to save you. Not just filling in form 5329, putting a big fat zero and saying thank you. You will get a letter audit on that. Whoa, wait a minute, pal. Why don't you explain to us what's going on here, or you owe us this money? That letter should be brief. You don't want to put a lot in. Oh, I was on a bender and got really drunk and totally missed the deadline, dude. I mean, you can't do something like that. But what you need to be able to do in this letter is articulate clearly and briefly the three main sections. And again, what went wrong? Second one is my mea culpa. I immediately took action. That's what they want to read. But the third paragraph is what you have done to make sure this doesn't happen again. And that's an important paragraph. It has no bearing. Paragraph one and two is what's going to give you compassion or reasonable cause. Paragraph three, I guarantee you they're keeping track of. So if they catch you again, they can say, well, wait a minute. You told us you were going to have your custodian do this automatically. Right. And you missed another one? Sorry.
No compassion.
You owe us money.
Right.
That gets attached to Form 5329. You sign it and you mail it in. That's how you fix a missed RMD. Now, things can get a little hairy. What if you missed four or your mother missed four? What has to be different here, Chris?
Well, you have to file four 5329s,
exactly.
Each one from each particular
exactly.
year, because the form does vary from year to year.
Absolutely.
And they want a signature from each year to match up. But you take them all in the year you discover the issue. So that's the strange thing. That's why you don't have to go back and amend those returns. You recognize the income in the year that you took it out and fixed the error.
Absolutely.
So there's only a few times in the tax code that is how it happens. Usually you have to go back and fix it on that year's 1040, which means an amended return.
Absolutely.
In this case, that's not how it works. You wouldn't want to go through all that. You just bite the bullet and recognize the income, the taxable income, currently in the year that you took it out.
Exactly. So you have to use the form 5329 for that year. And that means four forms, four Epstein's letters, which can be pretty much identical, and four signatures. And mail them in four separate envelopes. Don't put it all in one. That's going to probably confuse them. Send it in to them. Here's this one. Here's that one. Here's the other one. Here's the other one. And they will be checking to make sure they see that being listed, the distributions being listed on your 1040 for the year that you took the money out. And don't be surprised if you get a letter audit asking for that proof. Hey, mm-hmm. you told us this. Prove you did that. Mm-hmm. So just be prepared for some kickback. But I've helped five people with this, and none of them have ever not been given compassion. The IRS will get a hold of you and let you know if you owe them the 50% penalty or not. If you get a very official-looking envelope with a tax lien, a tax bill rather, in it, they didn't buy Epstein's mother's letter. They didn't show you any compassion. But everyone that I have ever helped on this, no problem. So it's really unique. A couple of other caveats. There is a way to fix this using the five-year rule. And you have to understand what the five-year... There still is a five-year rule. We began today's show saying the five-year rule might come back. There is a five-year rule if and only if you inherit an IRA from someone who dies before their required beginning date. Right. And what is the required beginning date again?
That's April 1st of the year following the year you turn 70 and a half.
Exactly.
So if they expire, pass away before that, you inherit it, you can elect to take the distribution as the five-year rule, which means you don't have to take any RMDs for the first 4 years. So you haven't technically missed an RMD if you elect the five-year rule, if you think you missed one in the first 4 years. Now, if you're trying to do the stretch, now you're missing them if you aren't taking RMDs in those first 4 years.
Right.
But you can say, oops, I did it. You know, let's just distribute it as the five-year rule. Let's not worry about this.
That could be an option.
Don't have to file anything. Yep. It's just...
If you were going to close the account anyways,
right. So
only someone who inherits an IRA from someone who died before their required beginning date can do this, because they are the only person or beneficiary that can use the five-year rule. And that means in year 1, 2, 3, 4, nothing has to come out. So the default is the five-year rule. The IRS isn't expecting to see RMDs. They're just going to assume you're going to take nothing out and in year 5, close the entire account. So if you realize you inherited an IRA, especially a Roth IRA, and you're worried you're not going to get any compassion, but you were going to close that Roth anyways, and you discover in year 3 you needed to take RMDs to get the stretch out, and you never took an RMD in year 1, year 2, year 3, and you're sitting there now thinking, well, wait a minute, do you feel lucky, punk? You know what line that is?
Mm-hmm. It's Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've
been around the block too.
I probably sounded just like Clint Eastwood in Dirty
Harry,
didn't
mm-hmm.
I?
Yeah.
I know I did. I could be an actor. So you're thinking to yourself, do I feel lucky? I could file Form 5329 for the first one, the second one, and the third one, explain to them I just didn't know or whatever the excuse is, and hope they give me compassion and don't hit me with a penalty tax on something that would have been tax-free.
Right. Just take it all out.
Or I could just close the damn account. So you can fix a missed RMD if you inherited the IRA from someone who died before April 1st of the year following the year they turned 70 and a half. So if you inherited it from someone who's 50, 60, 70, even 70.5, but they haven't hit April 1st of the year following the year they turned 70.5. The five-year rule applies. So if you discover the mistake, and you have to discover that mistake within the first 5 years, if you discover that mistake, you can just not even file 5329 for all the missed years. Just take out, just close the account. It has to be closed by December 31st of the fifth year following the IRA owner's death. Just take it all out. If it's a Roth, that's a tough call. Because if they don't give you compassion, you might end up owing taxes on 3 years worth of RMDs that would have been tax-free. But if they don't show you compassion, that at least allows you to say, hey, I want the stretch, not the five-year rule. Mm-hmm. I'm asking for forgiveness for the first three missed RMDs. And then you can go into taking the stretch. They're not going to default you to the five-year rule. To the best of my knowledge, that's how it works. I probably need to verify that with the Ed Slot group, that you are not defaulted in if you miss an RMD for legitimate causes. You still have to file Form 5329, have a good excuse, and then tell them, because most people on Roth IRAs miss it because they don't think they have to take it. As soon as I find, this is your final, you know, this is like your letter. I discovered 3 years after inheriting my father's Roth IRA, I was required to take required minimum distributions. I did not realize that. I immediately took the three missed required minimum distributions. I have told my custodian to automatically start doing this. Maybe they'll give you some compassion. What I don't know, and I will find out for our next recording, because I'm going down my rabbit holes like I usually do, do they default you to the five-year rule and not allow the stretch if you miss that first RMD?
I'm placing my money on you're able to do it.
You think so?
Because I think you can, as long as you file 5329, but I'm not going to stake my life on it by any means. That'd be one of those weird one-off rules.
Yeah, one-off rules.
So we'll confirm that for everybody.
So we'll confirm that. But if you want to avoid that, and you were thinking of closing the account anyways, and it's a Roth and is going to be tax-free anyways, then you might want to just say, nope, just don't even tell them. Just close the account. But I will find out from the Ed Slot group what would happen in that unique case. Client misses it, or a person misses RMDs for the first 3 years. Can they file 5329 for each on a Roth IRA?
And reinstate the stretch.
Start stretching that Roth IRA out? Or is the client going to be locked into the five-year rule now and lost the ability to stretch because they didn't take that first RMD? That wouldn't be very fair because people will make mistakes.
Yeah, especially with a Roth, because everybody always hears Roth, no RMDs, Roth, no RMDs.
Yeah.
It's only on your Roth, not on an inherited Roth.
Right. So we'll clarify that part. But anyways, hopefully you all learned a little today that missed RMDs are not anything to overly fear. I said that right. Fear. That's the Boston way of saying it. To not overly fear. And that if done correctly, the IRS, fixing them done correctly, not missing them. There's no correct way to miss one. If you fix it correctly and outline Epstein's mother's letter correctly, I have always seen compassion be given.
Nice.
And keep this in mind. I know many of you listeners are not even subject to RMDs yet. You're still in your 50s and 60s. You might have to help your parents someday. And someone should be checking and making sure your parents are taking their RMDs and not missing any. Because someday you might have to fix a mistake that your parents made because they're getting into their 80s and don't quite remember things the way they used to.
Yep. So I want to thank everybody for listening today. This is the Retirement and IRA Show EDU edition. We also have the Q&A edition. I will say that we've heard from a few people that the Q&A podcasts and the EDU podcasts are getting all mangled together in our podcast feed.
What do you mean?
So, there's just so many podcasts now, people are losing track. And
well, they mocked EDU and they're mocked.
I know, it's not, it doesn't work as cleanly as we'd hope. So we're We're going to look at that and talk about laying that out a little bit more cleanly for everybody so you can keep track of in what order you should be listening to your favorite financial
podcast. Oh, they don't know the
order.
Aren't we going to start numbering them?
We might have to start doing that, yeah. So we'll talk about it off the air, but just wanted everybody to know we've recognized that there's a bit of a challenge out there, so we appreciate you sticking with us and listening to all those podcasts. And remind you that we are living, breathing, practicing financial planners in the Northern Colorado area. We happen to help clients throughout the whole country, though, so you don't have to be right here in Colorado. We'd love to see you out here, though. Just don't stay. We have too many people in Colorado. No, just kidding. It's a great place to
live. He's serious. Don't stay.
Yeah. Well, not beyond 2 weeks, you know. So anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, if you'd like some help in your retirement planning, especially if you're a do-it-yourselfer as far as investments go. I know there's a lot of you folks out there who are listening to this kind of stuff, trying to fill in the gaps in your retirement planning knowledge. You might be great at managing your own money, but now you've got to deal with all these new issues as you approach retirement and try to live through retirement. So things like RMDs and what are you going to do for health insurance and Medicare and how are you going to claim your Social Security and how are you going to optimize your tax situation, balancing all these different new income sources. And I mean, I could go on and on and on. All these topics that you probably didn't even consider dealing with until you're approaching retirement. If you think we can help you with some of those things, we encourage you to reach out to us. Go to our website, jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. On there, you'll find a contact form. You can reach out to us, or you can schedule through the calendar app right there on the Jim Helps page. A coffee and a second opinion is what we call it, where we sit down with you over the phone generally or face-to-face if you happen to be here in Colorado, and we'll talk with you about your situation and describe the services we offer and see if there's something we can't help you out with. Sorry we went late, although you're listening to this whenever you please. We're late recording
ones.
So I'm glad we held it together here. Things got a little sloppy there for a minute, but I think it was pretty tight. So thanks for listening to us. We'll be back with you again next week with a brand new show.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.